I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because that's where we can pray. That's where we can praise. That's where we can lift up the Lord. That's where we can encourage each other. So it's exciting to come together, to receive what God has for us, to fill us up for this week, to go forth in Him. And so that is what we're looking for today. I know that's what I'm looking for. And I praise and glorify His name. We used to come, I think it was about 25 years ago. So it was a while ago. So it's good to see old faces, though, and some people we haven't seen for a long time, and to see a lot of new faces. It's so exciting. But the Lord has had a journey for us. He's brought us into the ministry, and now we've been traveling for about the last 12 years, from Arizona to Maine and Connecticut, Virginia, and around, and God has just opened up doors, and it's been exciting. I know I've ministered at a couple of women's meetings here a couple of times in between that 25 years. So we haven't been for so long apart. But God is our Savior and Lord. He's the one who is leading us and directing us, and I thank Him for that. 4 years ago, I had a heart attack, and I praised the Lord. Now, I am not only alive, my heart is fine. In fact, the last time I went to the cardiologist, she said, your heart is better than it was before, which was normal. Before, my heart was normal. Now it's better than normal. Praise God. That is God. That's a great miracle. If you have any heart disease or difficulty with your heart, you only have about a month for it to recuperate. And God healed me almost, within the week that I was in the hospital, He healed me. And then it's just getting better. Praise God. I needed to get better because I want to do more for Him. Amen. I want to do more for Him. I'm thankful for my husband, John, to be with me today. He's one of my greatest supporters, and I certainly appreciate his support and his love. And he gets, I ask him all the questions. How do I look? How was it? Did I make any sense? All those kinds of things that you don't usually hear. And when I'm out. But it is a blessing to be here. I thank you, Brother Reuben, for all your generous graciousness to me this morning. And I certainly thank Pastor Randy for inviting me this day. It is always an honor to fill a pulpit and to share the Word of God. And I do not take it lightly. I take it very, very seriously. So this morning I would like to have you turn to Matthew chapter 16, probably a passage that many of you know and have heard many times. Matthew 16:13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Jesus answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then He warned the disciples that they should tell no one that He was the Christ. This morning, Lord, oh God, as we open up Your Word and we look into it, I pray that these would not be my words, but the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Your sight, and that it would come forth, oh Lord, as the words of Jesus Christ Himself, expressing them to our hearts and to our lives and in rejuvenating our spirit, that we might know You in a greater way, with a greater understanding of what You were saying on this day to Your disciples, may become alive to us. And oh God, may we go forth in Your power and in Your strength and in Your Holy Spirit, that we might go and build the church of Jesus Jesus Christ, that it would be established and go forth in power, and that there would be none that would come up against it, for Satan continually does it. But Lord, you will not allow it to be removed. We thank you for that in thy precious holy name. Amen. Jesus has come to his disciples, and my husband and I last February had the very awesome opportunity of visiting Israel. And so we were able to go to this very spot where Jesus spoke this. On the second day of our tour, and if anybody ever gets a chance to go to Israel, go. I often thought, well, you know, it's not the same. You know, it's not exactly like Jesus was. But I tell you, there's nothing like being in that place. I know it's not at all like Jesus was, but just being in that place, the place where God abode with his people in the temple, it is awesome. It is awesome. And they have made excavations at in certain places where you walk at the same level where David and Solomon walked. You walk and walk on the same steps that Jesus walked on as he came into Jerusalem. I walked down them and cried. My daughter saw the picture. She says, "You look angry." I said, "I was crying." The whole pictures, all my pictures, I'm crying. And then if you get the opportunity to ever walk into what is now considered the upper room, my friends, it is the most awesome experience, because whether it's the original upper room or not, millions of people a year pray there. And you go in and you are almost overwhelmed by the power of God. It is so strong. If I can ever go back, I would go back at a moment's notice. And we've had the opportunity to travel to several places in our lifetime. We thank God for that. But Jerusalem, to ride into Jerusalem, and they played, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," as we came in. And then we stood on Mount Scopus and looked over all of Jerusalem. Beautiful, beautiful city. Everything's white. All the buildings are white, made of Jerusalem stone. Absolutely phenomenal. I wished I had gone 25 years ago, and I'd gone every year since. If you get the opportunity, go, go. But we had the opportunity of going to Mount Hermon on the second day of our trip. It's a beautiful place. Before you get there, there's fields and a lot of banana trees and date trees. They've cultivated a lot. We just the other day bought some carrots from Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of farming that goes in, even up in that mountainous region. Mount Hermon is the highest place in Israel. It's also the northernmost border, one of the northernmost borders of Israel. And so when you go there, the other side of it is the Golan Heights. You go in, it's rather flat, it's not very steep there, and you come to the edge, the bottom, the foot of Mount Hermon, and suddenly it's very flat, and then there's this cliff. It doesn't like go up slowly like the mountains or hills around here. It's like flat, and then there's this cliff, straight cliff, sheer cliff. Perhaps the best climbers in the world, mountainous climbers, could climb up it, but I would never even attempt it. And it's interesting because at the bottom of Mount Hermon is one of the easternmost sources of the River Jordan. And we were there in February, which is very cold. It snowed while we were there. They say you're blessed when it snows in Jerusalem when you're there. And so we were blessed. And I said, thank you. I don't usually like the snow, but on that day I said, thank you, God. But the mountain, Mount Hermon was very cold. I mean, the River Jordan, the spring that comes off out of Mount Hermon was very, very cold. The snow was melting off of there. They do have a mountain slope. They have a ski slope there, which you can't see from where we were. But very cold water, very small. So as you get down to the Jordan River, it's amazing. The small amount of water can become a larger river, although it's not that wide where we were. But we got to the bottom of Mount Hermon, and at the bottom of this cliff, we discovered certain things. The first thing is that there was this cave, and inside the cave, in Jesus' time, it was filled with water. It is now filled with rocks. But it was so deep, it couldn't even be measured. They could not even measure how deep it was. Right beside this cave, there was a temple to Pan, the Greek god. Right next to that was a temple to the god Caesar, built by Herod in the B.C. time, about 25 B.C. It was to his benefactor. Caesar had made him ruler over that area, and so he wanted to just kind of acknowledge his benefactor, and so he meant a temple to Caesar. Now, in the Old Testament time, this area, and especially this area right here, but in the whole Fertile Valley there, it was the area where a lot of worship to Baal and Ashtoreth were, the gods of the other Canaanites and those that were in that area. And so we have right here at the bottom of Mount Hermon, we had Baal and Ashtoreth worship. We had worship to Pan and worship to Caesar. And then right there below it, Philip, Herod's son, built Caesarea Philippi in about 2 BC. And so there was a city built around it where there would have been all kinds of things to the gods. They would have sold things concerning the gods and had places, you know, that you could stay while you worshipped in gods and those kinds of things. And so it was not a likely place for Jesus to bring his disciples. In fact, it was very purposeful that Jesus brought his disciples to the bottom of Mount Hermon. There was no mistaking it. There was no, like, it's on his way from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem, because it's not. It's 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. There's no other city around it. And there's Jerusalem is 125 miles south of it. So it's not on Jesus' regular route. He traveled often from Jerusalem to Galilee and Galilee to Jerusalem and around that whole area in there. But at no other time does he go to Caesarea Philippi. It's named Caesarea Philippi because Philip built it. And there's another Caesarea, which is on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. So Jesus specifically takes his disciples to this place, not only where there is worship to all these gods. You see, they didn't care if you worshiped one god or another god. They didn't feel like if there's one god here, Pan, that they couldn't worship somebody else. You see, they just added one god on another god. You could worship all of them or one god. It didn't matter. And so they had worship to Baal and Ashtoreth. They had worship to Pan, and they had worship to Caesar, all in the same place. The phenomenal thing is, Jesus, a Jew, brings his disciples, who are Jewish, to this place of worship to gods that demanded human sacrifice. They would sacrifice humans to Baal and Ashtoreth. They would sacrifice humans to Pan. I don't know about Caesar. I didn't hear that. But I definitely know of the other two. And Jesus comes to this place, and who would they have sacrificed but the Jews, because they were the slaves? And so Jesus has taken jeopardy of his very life by coming to this place. And he comes into it. And he comes to the very bottom here, and in fact, the water where the cave was, they would throw the bodies in there, I believe, and it had to finally run clear, and that was enough people for Pan to be satisfied then. So a lot of people were sacrificed to Pan. A lot of people. In fact, if you get there, if you're sensitive to the spirit, it's just kind of eerie. Jesus brings his disciples to this very place, very much out of his way. Certainly not where he is wanted. Certainly not where he will be extolled. But he says to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" Now, there's one thing to take note of, and I don't know if you know of any of the Greek gods. I really had never studied the Greek god until we came back, and God began to show me all of this. Pan was the Greek god of shepherds. Pan was the god of the Greeks of pandemonium and fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He is not a god of confusion, but Pan was that god. Pan, in the different books concerning Greek mythology, it talks about his parentage. And there is some confusion as to who his parents were. It says that when his mother had him, he was so hideous that she ran away. Some say that his father was Hermes, but some say that his father was Satan. And it's this parentage that I'm going to be speaking about this morning. So he was the god of shepherds. He was the god of pandemonium and fear, and that's where he gets his name, Pan, from. He was a god who was half man and half god. In fact, it is from Pan that we get our image of Satan. When we think of who Satan is, we are visualizing Pan. Pan had the legs of a goat. He had the ears of a goat. He had the face and upper body of a man. And the worship to Pan, as well as to Baal and Asherah, involved orgies, wild dancing, and human sacrifice. And the cave, which was filled with water, was considered a gate to hell. A gate to hell. And so it is in this place where Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say a prophet." But they didn't understand and they didn't realize why Jesus had brought them there amongst all these other so-called small letter G gods. So he says to them and makes it so very personal, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter makes this astounding statement, which he doesn't even really know what he's saying, because afterwards Jesus says, "God has revealed it to you." He said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the chosen one. You are the one that we've been looking for. You are the one that we've been expecting. You are the one that we have here now, the very Son of God." And Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, that has been revealed to you by God the Father. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, in the midst of all these other gods, he wanted to make a statement and say that he was the God who was the Son of the living God. There was Baal and Asherah and there's Pan and there's Caesar and there's other gods all over the world that people will worship all the time, everywhere. We have our gods of fame and fortune and money and career and all those kinds of things. But my friend, Jesus is God over all those because he's the Son of God. He is greater than Baal and Asherah. He is greater than Pan. He's greater than Caesar. That is what he wanted his disciples to know, that there was no one in comparison to who he was. He was the Son of the living God, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the great Jehovah, the I Am, the great counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the one and the only, the one who ever will be, who has been, and will always be. This is what Jesus was trying to say, and we sometimes get mixed up in America because we don't think we have other gods. But we need to take notice and again recognize and repent of those gods that we have within our lives and say, no, Jesus is the Son of God, and I will worship God Almighty. And then Jesus makes the phenomenal statement, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. My friends, he said this in the place where there was the gate of hell. The gates of hell, Pan, Caesar, Baal and Asherah, will not overcome me. The gates of hell, that which is right here, will not overcome me. They believe that Pan took and descended in that place to hell, received instruction from Satan, and then came back and carried out what he had told him to do. You see, Jesus came to the place. Where the imitation of Jesus was being worshipped. Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to the place where the goat of Satan was worshipped. Jesus, who was the great shepherd, came to the place where the God of shepherds was worshipped, where the imitation God of the shepherds were worshipped. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to the place where the Prince of Confusion and Pandemonium was worshipped. Jesus, the Author of Life, came to the place where gods demanded death. Jesus, the God of heaven who became man, came to that place where the God who was half man and half goat was worshipped. Jesus, the God of heaven who became man, came to the place where Caesar, who was man, was supposedly to have become God. There was no mistake, and this was the place where he wanted to be. And he makes this phenomenal statement, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. My friends, it is no mistake Jesus was talking about that what was going on here will not overcome what he is going to be. You see, sometimes we think that is all gone rid of, that there's no more gods like that, but we have made our own gods, and America has become a place of other gods. We have religions that we do not even understand nor know about, but there are mosques and temples for the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and those other religions that will say there's many ways to heaven. But my friend, Jesus said, I am the way, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And no matter what these other religions do, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God and the kingdom of heaven. It will continue on. Today, the Baal and Asherah places of worship are nothing but destruction. They're mounds of dirt that they have excavated over and have found places where they have worshipped. But they are nothing else. The temple to Caesar is nothing but a few footings left on the rock of Mount Hermon. That is all there is to it. The temple of Pan is nothing but a few grottos where they used to have images to Pan and Echo and one of the priests of Pan. Their images are not even there. They are gone. That is all that is left to the temple of Pan. But my friends, the kingdom of heaven is increasing even this day. The kingdom of heaven has spread not only in Jerusalem, not only in Israel, not only in Galilee, but it has gone out into the uttermost parts of the world. And it has gone forth and it continues to grow and become a mighty area, a mighty stronghold of our God and Father. It has become the greatest power upon this earth. Our God is not dead. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Savior of the world, and they will not overtake Him. But our King will reign forever. We are on the winning side. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. All of that is demolished, but the kingdom of heaven is increasing day by day by day. Because what happens? What happens? What happened to every single one of us? What happens when a sinner gets saved? We grasp them from the very gates of hell and place them into the kingdom of heaven. And the gates of hell become hungry because they are losing that which they were feeding upon. And the heavenly kingdom is increasing and going forth in mighty power. Hallelujah to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Pan, it is interesting to note, is the only Greek god who has ever been recorded that died. The only Greek god that ever died. And I find it interesting that he died during the reign of Tiberius, which just interestingly enough is from A.D. 14 to A.D. 37. Very interesting that it's the same time that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and was buried, brought down into hell, took the keys of hell, rose again out of hell, and is triumphant and sits at the Father's right hand this day. My friends, Pan died when Jesus overcame death and hell and fear and confusion and everything the enemy has ever stood for. He is the truth and he is alive today. Jesus' church is growing. We do no longer go to the highest place and worship. We do not go to the mountains because the mountain has come to us. We no longer go and worship at a rock because the rock has come to us. The rock, Christ Jesus. He has come and he lived and he died that we might have salvation and that we might glory in it and that we might go forth with him in truth and righteousness. The church will continue to grow and prosper, and the rock Christ Jesus is our foundation. He is the shepherd. He is the Lord shepherd who came in the image of God to teach us how to walk in his palace, in his temple, in his truth, and his righteousness. And my friends, there are two ways to ask the question today, who do you say that I am? And I ask you today, who do you say that Jesus is? Is he the Lord and Savior of your soul? Has he come into your life and forgiven your sins? Have you recognized that there's a distance between God and you want more? And you say, I want this Jesus who has come over all the gods and is the mighty God and sits at the Father interceding for us. I want this Jesus today. I want this Savior. I want the one who is called the Christ. And if you do, I'm going to ask you in a minute to raise your hand and come forward. But there's also a second way to ask this question. And I ask those of you who have asked the Lord into your lives and have served Him, perhaps for a short time, perhaps for a long time, who do you say that I am among other people? Who do you say that I am among those that you work with, among those that are your neighbors, among those that you see in the grocery store? Who do you say that He is? Who do you say that Jesus the Christ is? My friend, we should have the loudest voice in all this world. There is no stopping the Jehovah Witnesses. There is no stopping the Mormons. They also are growing. But my friend, we need to have a louder voice. And we who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior must say He is the Savior of the world. And we must proclaim it on a day-to-day basis. And so I challenge you today, if you feel like you have not been that witness as you deserve to be, as you need to be, as the kingdom of God is ready for you to be, I am going to ask you also if you will just come forward. But first I want to ask, as every eye is closed, is there someone this day who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Is there someone who has said in their heart, there are other things that I have worshipped, there's other things I have desired, but they have not satisfied. They have not made me content. They have not allowed me to be who I should be. But instead, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want you to raise your hand. Oh, because the Lord is waiting for you. He loves you with a steadfastness. He died for you. He cares about you. Your life might be a mess. You might think there's no hope, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope. There are things that all of us have gone through, and God has brought us to a place where we would not have been except for Jesus Christ. And if you want to be on that pathway with Him, if you want to walk with Him, then I pray you'd raise your hand right now and say, I want this Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Is there anyone else who will join these who have said, yes, I want Jesus. I want more Jesus. I want Him like I've never had Him before. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I thank the Lord. Oh, God. Is there anyone else? The Lord wants you to know He is God of gods. He is the one who is over all. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm going to ask those that have raised their hands to please come forward as our brother begins to pray. Oh, come forward. And we're going to have a time of prayer for you. We're going to have a time of just praying with you. And oh, Lord, hallelujah. Come forward. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. My friends, rejoice. The kingdom of heaven is rejoicing right at this time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us all pray together as these pray. Hallelujah, let us pray. Jesus, come into my life. Oh, I forsake all other gods. And I desire for You only to be in my life. I commit to You everything. Oh God, I know I have left You behind. But I want You now. Forgive me, Lord. Thank You. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As these pray with our brother, I want anyone who has felt like they have not been the witness that the Lord desires them to be, to come forward and just recommit their lives to God again. To say, yes, Jesus, I want to be that witness that I have not been. I want to be more. I want to do it more. I want to say it more. I don't want to hold back. I want to give it all to You. I want opportunities to open up. You know, you might say, I never know what to say. I never know how to do it. Just cry out with your heart and God will give you opportunities like you've never had before. Like you've never had before. It'll just flow out of you. You don't have to worry about what to say. Jesus will let it just flow out of you, just like rivers of living water. Come, my friends, let us be the witnesses and proclaim this day. You are the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the soon coming King, Jesus Christ, the one who has loved us and cared for us and loves us this day. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name.